gentleman. And because of that line in an obscure Croatian song that I'm certain nobody has ever listened to because it has less views than my videos despite being a huge pop hit apparently in Croatia, because that woman said...
Welcome to our party, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice.
From now on, anal sex shall hereby be referred to on this podcast as doing it in the party hall.
Ooh. You're listening to three guys that are nearly 30.
But get into it.
Finally,
as the youth would say, get amongst it. Or as Today FM repackages us to say, get amongst it, because there's a 35-year-old that smokes just as many cigarettes as this woman who said it's cool.
This song is just...
Good contribution. Okay, so...
Can you explain why this isn't the best song ever created?
Because they're all Turkish and this is not a Croatian song. I'm starting a GoFundMe page. I don't know what the money will be used for. I'll think about that after. But I'm going to start a page and it'll be everyone who gives money is contributing to the fund of me uncovering and exposing that these people... At least the first guy in the boat, it's like... The Sheikh and the Shidish.
Wait.
Wait, here he is. Come back.
That's not Croatian. That was Turkish. They're invading.
Why is that not Croatian? He's wearing Speedos. He looks like this guy at our high school called Tim Bruz, except for like with bigger glasses.
Okay.
I don't understand what the point is that he's not.
They're all valid points, but he's speaking a different language.
He's not. He's just... Maybe he's speaking Kazakhstani, but he's not speaking Turkish.
Okay, can anyone like on the pod? Can anyone on the pod discover what this? What's this Joker's name?
Karma.
Yeah,
his name's Karma.
Find these freaks.
Because I needed.
I swear to God, 40%, like 60% of Jordan's life is like working, and the other 40 is just googling freaks, and not even real freaks. Guys that are moderately successful in a European pop market.
Man.
Yeah, just
like,
such
what the hell?
What a niche.
Who are you?
What a niche.
It's so
my secret shame.
Oh man.
Honestly, living together has really turned into a reflection of a mirror of who I am. This is too scarily accurate. That's it. I work hard. And I play hard.
Oh, how is her voice so smoky? The only reason, the one reason.
Yeah, it's like she's beyond an ashtray. At this point, she is a barbecue.
The one...
She's smoking briskets, too.
The one reason I'd be inclined to believe that any of this is somehow legitimately Croatian is that lady. Because I do know a lot of ladies that when they talk to you, they have equally as raspy voices and they're really... They pump durries and they're really good at... cooking meat.
What is it with the former Soviet Union and pumping durries?
No, I thought that
and
was just their accent.
Badasses. They can't get cancer. But can
cancer
just,
doesn't scare me.
Before the
I'll line up in bread line for 3
but
days.
For the record, we'll be playing a song in a little challenge we're doing later in the pod. But for the record, it's not a Croatian song unless there's a really fat guy with like a moustache and like. You know, button-up shirt and singing and like just yeah, singing in some sort of field with two basically naked, really hot 20-year-olds next to him, and then some guy with a soul patch with a harmonica going eh, and it has to be the mix of a fat dose of traditional, so that music that like harmonica shit's like doo 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 doo, or like a bouzouki or some shit, and a fat beat. This is not. This,
you know
is,
what?
This is a sham.
Unless
this is
that's
a goddamn sham
for this not being a Croatian
song. Because
you know
it's
what
not
that a fat guy with a bazooka in it. Despite the fact that on Wikipedia, first thing, Karma, Croatian DJ. Vladivostok, Croatian singer. Nah, she's not hot enough. That's the reason why this isn't a Croatian song.
That guy
song.
Is not Croatian.
But isn't that also every Turkish song? A fat guy with two hot babes. All I'm trying to say is, man, you guys have more in common than you realize.
How do you explain that,
it's
Miss
in
Love?
The, it's in the nuances.
It's
the
olives
in the nuances, the gray
and
area.
The babes. You're practically the
Dude,
same person.
The nuance is that rich Turkish guys wear Ed Hardy shirts and rich Croatian guys wear Mossimo shirts.
No, that's not true. Different instrumentation, different scales. One's Middle Eastern scales, one's like bloody Russian Germanic scales. Completely different instruments.
There was a lot so many thousands of years of interbreeding.
I'm not letting care, but no, somehow.
Give me one Turkish Croat, like, cross. Find me one in the world, and I'll give you a crisp tenner.
What?
I'm sure you've got some Turkish.
Man, I'm not saying, like,
you.
Yeah, now, modern day borders, right?
Yeah.
We're talking the Crusades. Before that, we're talking about the Persians trying to rummage their way through to Italy.
Yeah.
There was a lot of crossbreeding in this area. That's why you get people like that guy going, Bishbeshter, Damen und Herren. Thank the Crusades for that.
I'm going to just disregard all of that and say there's no such thing as a Croatian Turk.
I love this as well.
That
like,
is insane. That you know, like, centuries of intermixing. The Turkish population is a mix. Like, there is no indigenous Turkish population. Like, it's a mix of centuries from Europeans.
Of course there's indigenous Turks. What are you talking about?
I mean, yeah, but like now. But like,
I don't think there is.
Dude,
it's like saying that there's indigenous Egyptians now. Not really.
Dude, these areas
are
just
Arabs.
These areas were...
They were Arabs.
These areas were at the crossroads.
They were Arabs.
Well, they are. Egyptians are Arabs, aren't they?
Oh, my God. Did you attend any history class between year 7 and year 12? Just one.
Are Egyptians Arabs?
Now they are. Yeah. But back in the day, they were North Africans.
Listen, you might, as much as you want to believe it, Turkey is not a giant 100-kilometer radius or whatever, circumference of every race of the world holding hands going, come on.
No,
together,
but dude, it kind of is.
No, it's not.
It's so the old world's version of that, though.
Yeah.
No,
yes,
it's
it is.
Not. Dude. It's just old guys selling kebabs.
Yeah,
pure Turks.
Hey, you're also forgetting the guys that sit on milk crates going, bish, 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 talking
mix,
really intensely about politics with
mix,
small amounts of coffee.
If there's any if there's any mix, it'd be Turks and Greeks. That makes sense, because I suppose there's huge similarities there.
Honestly, what is the difference between us and Greeks, apart from the fact that they like cement lions maybe 30% more than
us
we do?
Us and Greeks?
Yeah. We're pretty close, man.
What?
The only thing I think is they're like
no,
really
like
proud of Greece because they're going, we invented democracy. And it's going, yeah, well, what have you done in the last 2,000 years? We can still rest on our laurels.
Hey, I don't.
Well, how's that working out for you, Greece?
I don't like having white pillars on my house and for some reason painting the bottom of trees white. And also, I like lemons, but not that much.
I just really like how you keep replacing in any situation, you're just a grumpy old guy, given any context, right? If you're talking about America, anyone who disagrees with Gavin McInnes' worldview is a goddamn commie. and in this,
accurate.
Because this is a pop this is a pop song you don't
he
like.
He nearly said it.
Goddamn
exposed.
Turk.
He nearly said it. I heard him.
I had it on my mind.
Yeah, sure.
You just said it too
much. I'm getting to the bottom of this, people. Friendly Jimmies.
All right, anyway, the point is...
This song's weird.
Yep, that's a disputed point, and we're just going to agree to disagree to that. I personally think it is the best pop song that's ever been created. Move over, Tarkan. We have Karma. The next point is, we have made Merkuf den Wert.
Oh, God.
And we are going to play Karma's Nema Problema. Again, further proving, because that's the only Croatian phrase I know, apart from, thank you very much, Mislav, for your extensive Croatian lessons over the last 2 weeks where I have learned because of that old guy. Did you see that?
What?
In The Hague, that drank the poison.
Yeah.
And yells,
he says it perfectly. That's perfect. He said that exactly perfect. You know what it is?
Yeah. What does that mean? I thought it just
say
means,
it.
This is poison!
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you seen that guy?
I didn't know what it
He's
meant.
He's a massive internet meme now.
Yeah. He's a huge meme and it's brutal. It's like, dude, he deserved more than being a meme.
I reckon he'd be sitting up in life in heaven and then Jesus will just come over
Maybe.
With the iPhone 11.
Because
it's heaven.
Yeah. And he's mates with Steve Jobs now, so he just gets to have all the
Yes,
new
yes. They're both sitting there being like,
as if
both?
Steve Jobs isn't in hell.
Yeah. No. He's got contacts.
He's got contacts. Yeah.
So controversial right now.
No, I think everyone knows that Steve Jobs is in hell.
I love it. I love
undisputable
it.
Fact, but definitely, I honestly reckon that that guy, from my extensive research of looking at a couple of documentaries of that guy sitting there and saying, boss things during the Croatian War, where he'd just be interning a bunch of suspected terrorists in a camp and going, and then just going to the colonel that was in charge. Don't do anything that'll make us ashamed as Croatians or men.
Well, you know the guy, the Croatian guy that laid my floor for me in my house? That guy...
The only way that I think of him as is fat, bald Santa Claus without presents. That's basically every Croatian man. More or less. This fat, bald Santa Claus going, I come bearing no gifts. Where is your milk?
You give him two babies, a pop star too.
I disagree. He gave many gifts, which were 99% political ramblings. But in those ramblings... He educated me on the fact that in an extremely non-specific way that I can't recall whatsoever, because most of the time I was going, I have to go back to work now. Can you shut up? We've been talking for 2 hours. I asked you a really casual question, essentially to break the ice. But he basically convinced me that he was a good man. The UN set him up. Bureaucratic politics.
What is his name? I don't even know. No one does.
Who?
But we're just talking about the wartime right? Santa Claus, the war criminal.
Yeah, but basically
the good man.
Basically, from now on, his name is General Nick.
But basically, Tom
General
is
General Nice.
Yeah, but basically, Tom was like, he's mad. So
I reckon he is too.
Enough convincing for me.
From me seeing him in the interviews and stuff, he is not like when they interview General Retko, which was the general of the Serbian army.
Yeah, who's
AKA probably just Slavic Bill O'Reilly.
Which means.
Look at this man.
So Slavic Bill O'Reilly.
Everyone look him up. Look up General Ratko and tell me that that's not Bill O'Reilly's dad.
Jesus. The Serbs are a warlike people.
Brother. They're really
I'm sorry, but objectively, the Serbs were a warlike people.
Look at this. Can't you see him just bellowing into that microphone? That
today scary. We are to announce the Pinheads and Patriots of Serbia.
Shit. That guy looks menacing.
On the Retko factor.
That is like, that's gold. The Pinheads.
We will talk about this on another podcast, but coming up, we will be discussing instead of this because Ali has done very impressive research, i.e., probably just looked at his iPhone on the way to and from work about Rwanda, which is so interesting.
That's not a real country.
You're right. I 100% agree with Miss Love's analogy. If you're smaller it's than Tasmania, you are a province. Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah. I'll be damned if I recognize the Ivory Coast.
So, because I can genuinely imagine you having an issue with that.
It's like, I thought Africa was the country.
Is it weird that
I don't need to learn no more goddamn words.
Is it weird that like I just assume that the Ivory Coast, the country, is pretty much what Jordan's holiday was to Florida?
What?
It just sounds fun. I know it's a horrible name, but dude.
Horrible name?
No, it's the best name
Ivory
ever.
Ivory Coast? Yeah. But doesn't that insinuate killing elephants?
But I mean, that's a theme park in itself. You have countless slippery dips for hamsters, I guess, with the tusks.
Oh, that's bad.
But nonetheless.
Well, what if it just...
you know I'm a hippie when it comes to environmentalism. Centrist with everything else. Did you put that can of beer on the ground? Pick that shit up, you fucking... I'm a hippie when it comes to that shit.
That's not a hippie.
Yeah.
That's a homeowner. Which is what you are.
I also...
You can't put trash on my lawn. I could easily pick that up, but I'm going to call the council about it.
Yeah, it's a fair... Well, it seems like a good way to go about it. Yeah. But anyway... Ivory Coast, if you want a holiday, go there.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Take your kids.
Are they the one with the flag with AKs on it?
Yeah. Don't worry about Gold Coast. Go to Ivory Coast. What sounds better, Gold Coast or Ivory Coast? Come on.
Ivory Coast definitely sounds better.
Yeah, but that's because we're all from Sydney. If we were from Brisbane, it'd definitely be Gold Coast. Yeah. But we like Ivory Coast, right? We're all in agreement of that.
God, I want to know everything about that. If I don't do a case study in the Ivory Coast soon.
We started that probably a year ago with Ali.
Yeah, Africa's heartland.
You did not.
Yeah, he we started researching African countries because I don't know anything about
them. I'm the same. It's a fucking mystery. The whole country is a mystery to me apart from...
Dude, it's not a country.
continent. Whatever. Might as well be. Fuck. The whole continent,
in my view,
is a mystery to me. I know the top...
Miss loves mysteries.
I know the whole...
Such a good segment.
I know the whole top part is a bit iffy. That's all I know.
You know what's really
interesting? What part of Africa is not iffy?
Yeah, well, I assume some of it isn't iffy.
South Johannesburg. Kenya seems
all right. Wait. The place, there's a place, you know how it goes out a bit on the west? I feel like that is not iffy. On the west?
What, the Senegal? Like West Africa?
West on the coast. Just above the middle in the west.
Oh, dude, there's like parts of it that are very iffy and parts of it that aren't exactly, at all. But like the divide isn't between west and the east. It's just like it's all over.
No, I know. And I know it is all screwed, but...
No, dude, it's not. It's doing all right. Like Rwanda's a fucking success story. We should probably talk about that.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
We will in a second, but first, we have to drink. Mirkuf, then the word. To cameras, nema problema.
With the most successful online... entrepreneur of this podcast is the one that's just like, all right, you gotta drink piss. Doesn't make sense to me at all.
Wait, it's not just necessarily have to be you. Should we do scissors, paper, rock?
No, I
just
love
tell it. Us this in Croatian.
Come on, boy.
How about I try and one of you try it too?
All right,
wait, let me just hear what he's saying. Yeah, he's speaking Croatian. Maybe it's Serbian.
It's called Nema Problema.
That's a good name. You know what that means?
No problem.
How good
I can't
is
believe
that?
I know that, but not thank you or goodbye or hello in Croatian.
You don't
just
need
so many people say that in Croatia. They're just anything you go, they're like, Nema Problema.
That's so true.
And it's so true.
They say that more than hello and goodbye, but it's bok, you retard. Because it's one word. B-O-K.
What's that mean?
Hello and goodbye.
I can't remember it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's too foreign.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Because...
So basically, just for the record, this is the amount of coffee that our receptionist Bab puts in her coffee, which is obviously the only reason she's still alive, because it was so much fucking coffee.
As if this isn't the theme song to that much coffee as well. She's saying that it just aka coffee mister. Too much coffee, not a problem.
True.
That's exactly what she was saying. Alright, Mr.
Sorry, I'm just like, you might be convincing me.
Where's the guy? I'm telling you, where's man, Croatian guy? Pop is, I'm sorry, we thought the Turkish pop was the most hilarious music of all time. Croatian's better.
But this is not OG, that's all I'm saying. Get the stuff at the back of going. Need that.
No. Dude. That's like saying that...
Oh, dude, do not spit into it.
I didn't.
That is...
I thought you were like... You're giving me this coffee, a guy who's probably had...
Just drink it.
I haven't
it.
Had coffee in
have
like
a sip of this. It's
15
incredible.
Years.
Just have a sip of that.
It does
that
make a lot of sense seeing your face. I could imagine a corpse being reanimated just by chucking that down their throat.
It's like dirt.
Dude, it's much better than what I expected it to be, honestly.
No. Is that what, is that what, like, the blood of whoever created Nescafe is like? Like some CEO sitting in fucking LA being like, uh-huh. Yeah, we could increase their wages by 50 cents, but that's not going to happen. Their blood is just that thick, creamery shit. God, I'm going to wash that down with a nice cup of Lipton. The people's choice.
Yeah.
Pretty addicted to it.
That was
did you just
fun.
Drink more of it?
Oh, yeah. Now that's what I call a shot.
All of this shit about him reading self-help was absolute rubbish. He just gets up every day at 4 a.m. and drinks a cup of that. He's like, that's why he's a success. I knew it. I knew there was another way.
It's
couldn't
definitely
have been hard work.
In commercial radio. The reason they sound so perky all the time.
It's just because they're on cocaine.
Well, I was going to say Red Bull, but okay. Let's just stick with something much more illicit and damning. Now, let's move on to Rwanda. Okay, this is... Ali, cannot give you enough praise for this title. Is Rwanda run by a nerd?
I don't even know where to begin with that.
Well, you wouldn't because you don't know what he looks
Rwanda
like.
Yeah, you don't know what he looks like. You have to look at the leader of Rwanda at the moment.
Mislav, do you know what happened in Rwanda in 93?
No, but I assume it definitely involved AK-47s.
Actually,
a few.
Well, a little bit, but what you need to be more concerned about is 3 million machetes.
Oh my, that's way scarier.
How much? I would much rather be shot up by an AK than hacked by a machete.
Any day. Oh yeah. Dude, even if someone told me that you'd survive a machete attack, going
like, I just think it'd be exciting.
He knows me too well.
I wouldn't say I'd enjoy it, but it'd be exciting. That's all I'm saying. It'd be exciting.
Love you, Jonesy.
Okay, look at this guy and tell me he isn't the biggest geek that runs a country. He thinks it's a board game. He doesn't think it's a country sure. Look at this nerd.
What's with the Hitler moustache? Oh, no, it's a normal one.
His name is Paul Kagame.
Yeah, okay, this
guy. He's just like the little brother of Obama that was beaten as a child.
I know I know exactly how this guy became the Rwandan president. I know how it happened. I know exactly how it happened.
God, I'd love to hear your theory because we actually do have the facts on this and I'd love to see how close it is.
Okay, this is going to be so good because I swear to God it's accurate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know how you can get those mixed assortments? Those mixed assortments of biscuits that you always get in the office? Monte Carlos, the white ones. You know, those biscuits?
The ones with a lot of red in the center. Yeah. Oh, what a surprise. It's white in the middle. How do they do that?
They're Monte Carlos.
Sorry about that.
Fucking hell. I'm just joking.
You're talking into a microphone. You whispered that to Ali as if it's an aside.
Sorry. Fucking hell, 7,000 people. He definitely was on the board in the UN and he just took way too many of the white ones and everyone was just like getting more and more pissed off at them. And one day they all met up and just like, you're out, buddy. And then he was just like, I'll just go become president of that country.
I'd say that is about 27% accurate.
Damn, that's
not that great.
Pretty impressive. That's not for someone who doesn't think Rwanda is a country.
Yeah. Okay, for that guy, it's impressive. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. I'll accept that one.
Ali, fill us in.
Yeah. So Jordan has been obsessed with. For some reason, Jordan has been really into genocide. Like, I am not even kidding. I just think
it's neat.
So
it's a really definite way of solving problems, isn't it?
So we decided to actually talk about the most famous genocide ever.
It probably is. It's not. But I think it should be. And honestly, if you're Jewish, no offense, but stop your bitching.
There goes our career out the window. Yeah, there goes any hope of a radio career ever.
But seriously, I'm so tired of this, how they get all of these movies talking about the horrors of the camps. And yeah, we get it. It was fucked up. But there's been so many genocides since then, including the one that Miss Love and I had to endure. Well, our ancestors. Yeah. I mean, we just had to sit there probably just watching TV singing, Gotta catch your mom.
Yeah, our version of that was Dunkaroos. Dude, but
even my ancestors.
But what the hell? The strawberry ones weren't as good as the
Am I right on that? I think the strawberry ones were better.
Nobody liked the strawberry. Was there banana as well?
Vote on this in the Facebook page.
Yeah, get to the bottom of it. Because the best was the vanilla and chocolate. The straw... What was it the other... No. I'm telling a fib here. Strawberry was all right. Vanilla was the shit one.
I don't even think there was a vanilla one.
Oh, I don't remember.
Anyway, the point is really that this is the darkest chapter of world history. And screw all the genocides. Which one was better? What we need to settle.
What do you mean?
Strawberry or chocolate?
Oh, yeah.
Doing...
No, but the Croatians... My grandma still has shells in the side of her house.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm saying. Where are our movies?
Oh, dude. Angelina Jolie did one.
Not enough.
And I think
she should devote her entire career to it.
And I think that one praised the Serbs too. Like, I think it was just slow motion.
When did the Germans ever get praise for their role in it? This is what I'm saying. Like, it's a Jewish conspiracy, I tells you.
No, that's honestly, not going that
like, far. It's not even a conspiracy. It's clearly the reason why there's so many movies about the Holocaust is because Jews run Hollywood. And obviously they're going to say that, and that's fine.
I think I'm going to cut you off and move to Rwanda. I think we've said enough.
How good is Jordan just being like, yep, so this is the drain in which you want to throw your career away? You're a little bit off. Oh, wait. There, you got it in.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Hang on, we'll finish this final thought, so we just make sure that absolutely nothing, there's no salvage from this. The Jewish question. Now, move
on. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know either. I honestly don't know what that means, but I know that every time you say that, everyone in Bondi's ears prick up and go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it means.
And...
But honestly, what I'm saying is, yes, and it was obviously tragic, but there's been a million genocides since then, and Rwanda's was terrifying. Give me the camps any day.
Dude, the best part about this, my brother's wife will probably listen to this, and she is Jewish, and her great-grandfather was killed in the genocide.
Yeah, but to be fair, we had relatives in a genocide as well.
So did I. Dude, I have insane stories. Well, I know people that have died.
Kashmir? Or is that Indian?
No, like when India and Pakistan, when Pakistan was formed, man, like, dude, 10 million people were killed. It was insane.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, I've got
half of Australia gone.
Yeah, dude, wow. I've got like insane stories about that too. Like, dude, my grandma's sister saw, these people came in, right, to kill her. So her servant
For what reason? Because
she was Muslim. So
yeah, look at that. Mislav's got nothing to say. Good enough.
No, it's true though. Like,
I knew you were gonna fucking say something like that.
Well, you didn't say anything. You just shut your mouth and went, okay, I'm gonna see where this goes. There could not be a reason for this.
I did not do that. I was just listening.
For your argument, there were like Muslims killing other Hindus too on the other side of the border.
Yeah, it's always religion is always the face of, you know.
Yeah, so be happy. You don't have to like Muslims for one bit. They also killed people in the other.
Chill out, people.
No, okay.
I like DJ Khaled. I mean, come on. Like, obviously, you know.
But so she was just chilling at her house, right? Her servant at the time comes in, says, you need to get the hell out of here because there's people coming in to kill you. So she basically just grabs her shit without even her slipper. She bolts out from the back door. She turns around once and all she can see is her servant. Like, her servant, like, was holding the door and people were pretty much just, like, fucking his tummy with a sword.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he died on the spot and she saw this dude who raised her die for her. That's fucking insane. Like, dude, if I was working for someone, I would not die for that guy.
Yeah, but it's because you got no honor. I'm just joking.
Basically, what we've come to the conclusion is that Ali is a coward.
But Ali, back then, it was a big deal. I wouldn't do it either, but back then it was a big deal.
Screw all that Rwanda. We'll talk about that some other time. So Rwanda was interesting. So, like, dude, most people know a little bit of Rwanda. If you talk to them, it's like,
They've seen Hotel Rwanda.
They've seen and they know Hutus and Tutsis. There's something going on there. Everybody knows that.
And I think also, do you think that people know this stat? Also, write this down in the Facebook. Just if you knew this, just go.
I knew this.
Rwanda.
He's good. Now, any doubt I had about how he made it just all came back right there.
I like how you've just been sitting there as a good friend of mine, skeptically watching me for years, going, I don't know, is he the real deal?
No, I have up until this very moment, but that coffee gave me such a buzz. It's like, actually, I'm getting to the bottom of this.
Rwanda is great. I reckon people would know this, that 90% of the Rwandan population is Hutu and 10% was Tutsi.
Hutus are the majority and they traditionally were into agriculture and Tutsis were into livestock. And as you can imagine, like, think of the outback, right? Most agricultural people hate these, you know, all of these livestock that are just roaming around because they destroy infrastructure, destroy fields, they have no use for them. So they always, like, there was always kind of a tussle between the two groups. The Tutsis became, this is before colonization, the Tutsis were the powerful group. They were, and because...
But how did that happen when they were 10% of the population?
Because they just, like, you know, like, so... If you were a farmer in the day, most of your time was dedicated to rearing the field. You were kind of, you know, like, farmers were pretty much the bottom of the ladder. If you had livestock, you don't have to constantly look after it. So you have time to, like, you know, enrich yourself, learn a few things, and then you become like, I don't know, you just, like, you become a bit more enterprising in that sense. So they...
And also, on top of this, don't you think that this is the main reason that they were dominant? They slightly taller.
Yeah, and, well,
the age-old distribute of the world.
Yeah.
It's like, I honestly think that there's something to that. When you see really powerful world leaders and stuff, they're always like Shaquille O'Neal, I guess.
they say like a lot of short people, like Alexander was really short, Napoleon. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But like, in all of his portraits, it's always just like, yes, I play basketball. Nobody's about this.
Napoleon.
Always trying to make himself look as tall and mighty as possible.
Wait, Alexander the Great. Are you saying
he's basically a midget?
So are you saying Alexander the Great just took over like Turkey or whatever the shit just because he was short?
More than half of the world,
More than half the world. That's hilarious.
I honestly think that's the world in a nutshell, is there bunch is a of lot tall guys ruling the world in intermediary pieces, and then there's some short guy every now and then that gets too pissed off needs to take the reins.
There is a lot of
which is what happened in Rwanda. It was a bunch of short people that were pissed off that they were like a head smaller and therefore weren't getting as many chicks in the club.
Totally true.
So Rwanda,
finally you're speaking sense.
I am going to bring it back. I'm going to say whatever the fuck I have to say. All right.
Sorry.
Clearly the most interesting. Sorry. And like, no. Stupid theories.
I know. It's just babbling taller.
Anyway, that's Rwanda handle.
Next week, tune into why Egyptians are definitely Arabs and always were. I stand by that.
So Tutsis were in a position of power. Colonizers, initially Germany got a hold of Rwanda and they preferred Tutsi over Hutus because they felt that they were more like them. They just felt that, I guess, they were smarter or something. And it's also like, you know, for most colonizers, it's sort of convenient to actually just back the top guy because you have to, you know, work less and, you know, changing the order of society. So it was natural for them to go for the Tutsis. Anyways, eventually World War One happens. Rwanda was taken away from Germany, and then the Belgians got it, right? Damn. And they initially were supporting the Tutsis too for the same reasons until, you know, the idea of democracy started taking place. So there was French Revolution and the whole world eventually started changing, and democratic ideas were a lot more appealing to Hutus because, as Jordan was saying, they were like 85% of the population.
Right.
So as any smart colonizer would, they automatically just changed sides to Hutus. So the Belgians started backing the Hutus, and then eventually decolonization takes place, and Hutus now are in a position of authority. They take over Rwanda. And, you know, they have a lot of gripe against Tutsis because, like, Tutsis were a minority taking, like, basically being the bosses. So now, you know, the situation's reversed.
But what's the deal? Because when they first took over, it was the moderate party of Hutu.
Well, yeah, so...
For 50 years they were...
No, well, so the Hutus were fine. Well, this is like coming towards a genocide now. It's similar. So, okay, I'll skip over the other bit. So, in about 1989, the coffee prices collapsed.
Shout out 89. Sorry.
Coffee prices collapsed.
Did you hear that, you year that's close to 30 years ago?
That's right.
Eh?
Yeah. So coffee prices collapsed. During this time, a lot of Tutsis had moved to Uganda and Burundi.
Yeah,
and where?
Burundi, which is in the south of
make
Rwanda.
Up
every time we're just doing with two buffoons. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Keep going.
So a lot of Tutsis had moved to Rwanda to Uganda and Burundi. So the Tutsis had moved to these. What's important is the Tutsi population in Uganda. So the Tutsi population in Uganda, after facing persecution in Rwanda, sort of gathered up over there, and they want what they want. And, you know, Uganda wasn't the best place to live either. Like Idi Amin and all those dictators were living, like, were taking care of Uganda. So they longed to go back to Rwanda. So in the border areas, they formed this army, and what happened was Uganda was having these wars with other countries, and the Tutsi population living in Uganda helped the Ugandan government to defeat those forces. Two things happened as a result. A, they got really good at fighting because they had just engaged in wars, and B, the Ugandan government loved them because they saved their ass. So the Rwandan government dominated by Hutus were now shit scared.
Do you think that was a deliberate decision on the Tutsi army's behalf, or it just panned out that way?
No, it was. It's very similar to like the situation in Afghanistan. Like,
because just as a quick side note, that president, despite the fact that he looks like someone who would be really good at the board game Caverna, Anything, or Risk, candy. He'd be really good at that. Any strategy board game, he'd just be like, let's play.
And when he plays Candy Crush, it's like, it's not really my kind of thing, but I'm really good
at it. Definitely. Yeah. He's such a boring man, but he looks uber intelligent. Yeah, yeah. And he was the general of those Tutsi
forces. He was a general living in Uganda, the current president of Rwanda now. The
I
nerd.
Bet that's what the Hutu called them for thousands of years as well. The tall one.
The tall one.
Righto, yeah.
So anyways, in 1989, after the coffee prices fell, that's the time when the moderate government in Rwanda started losing its influence. Because very much like, you know, if you look at 2008, right, there was a crisis, then you had these right-wing forces creeping into mainstream politics, the Le Pens, you know, even like, you know, the right-wing establishment of in the U.S. now.
True.
You know, so, and like, and this is a common thing. In the 1930s, it led to, like, you know, Hitler, Mussolini, shit like that. So similar to that, in Rwanda, these right-wing forces that were extremely anti-Tutsi because there was a lot of fear in Rwanda at the time because this massive Tutsi army living in Uganda, all they were thinking about is, like, how to come back to Rwanda, and that would make any country afraid. So the moderate government sort of kept in power, keeping these forces at bay, but they would allow the right-wing government to, you know, form some sort of policy similar to what's happening today in the world, right? You, instead of like resisting the right wing, you're sort of like, you know, Malcolm compromise. Working with Pauline Hanson, for instance, right? You, instead of like, you know, going completely against them, you allow them room in case they go crazy. So in Rwanda, what happened was that essentially the moderate president of Rwanda's plane was shot. And
yeah, I do remember this, but just quickly, how much did they persecute the Tutsi, the moderate government? What would they do? Would they just give like a better land to the Hutu?
Exactly.
Yeah. Better schools.
Yeah. So they weren't out. In fact, they were.
So it was basically the Liberal Party.
It was basically the Liberal Party. They were trying to, like,
really?
You know,
it's not that bad.
They were trying to, like,
with the moderates.
The moderates, yeah.
Right. That's okay.
And so the ones that were coming in were not even One Nation, just National Front.
National Front.
And Miss Love's go-to party. Oh,
shut up.
Probably the vice president of it.
National Front.
That's, dude, that's, you got it right there. That's definitely their slogan. National Front. Piss off.
Such a dick.
So
this is England. The National Front, except opposites. They want all the whites out.
Okay, so as soon as
we'll get onto that later.
The moderate president's plane was shot down.
Yeah, it's on for everything.
Yeah. Rumors started spreading that it was the Tutsis that shot it down. Till this day, we kind of don't know who actually did it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so once that started, then these radio mess, then the right-wing government just took over.
With Hutu Power FM.
With Hutu Power, and they say...
So that was it. So that was their version of Sunrise making Kevin Rudd Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Hutu Power FM. I'm talking about this in my latest. I've got a sick call on Triple J and Hutu Power FM. That's right, I'm comparing them. And it's just...
mad.
They are
but for all
them.
But for all intents and purposes, Flame Forest Hall, Triple J, I love you, but mad. Love you, Triple J.
I'm not
J.
saying that Hutu Power FM didn't have banging tunes.
They probably had more banging tunes.
It would have just been 2LT for sure. It just would have been some, as always, some fat guy who's got heaps
so
of donuts.
So many opinions.
Yeah. Just sitting there, just being like,
let me.
Yeah. Okay, could you do an African accent, but add Alex Jones to it? And I bet you that was the main voice on Hutu Power FM.
Let me speak for 1 second here. The Hutu think that they can control you through the culture, through the land.
The Tutsi.
Or whatever. But let me tell you, it's ridiculous. If they caught me, I wouldn't, obviously I'd be terrified. But all I'm saying is I'd be excited.
Dude, this guy wasn't even... you should listen to this guy. He wasn't even giving these explanations. He was just saying, kill the cockroaches. Kill those cockroaches.
Straight up. And also being like, and might I say, all the Hutu women that flaunt their things before that, make sure you taste their puss before killing things.
Oh my God.
It was so scary. Hutu Power FM is terrifying.
Yeah.
Is it still a radio station? That'd be mad if it's just called, like, it's just like the South Shall Rise Again FM.
No, now you can't even mention Hutus or Tutsis. Like, they used to have identity cards back in the day where it would tell them what tribe they were from, but now it's like it's frowned upon even to say it in public. That you're a Hutu.
So what's the deal?
Because like what happened after that was like
society. Yeah. We are all just
No, it's break. Not. It's not because, like, I'll get to it real quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get to
the. But so anyways, like, what happened afterwards is like the Rwandan genocide. It's the worst, one of the worst genocides in history.
How many died?
They think anything between 500,000 to a million. In
what? Oh yeah, in, that's right.
And keep
this.
in mind,
30 days was it?
100 days.
Oh, sorry, that's still crazy,
isn't it?
That's insane.
And also keep in mind, this is not a huge country. What was the population of Rwanda back then?
So Rwanda is like, well, I don't know what it was back in the day, but it's the most densely populated African country.
Well, it'd have
to
be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's the South Korea of Africa. Definitely.
Damn, that is.
Except with way shitter pop music. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, so anyways, okay. The Rwandan genocide happens, and eventually the Tutsis that were living in Uganda come over and take over Rwanda.
But man, can we just, why are you glossing over the genocide?
I mean,
that's the best part.
Well, so you talk about the genocide, and
because
like,
he's like a international studies student. He's not like
he is built for the UN.
He
isn't
is.
He
you are built for politics.
I mean, it's really interesting the tensions that surrounded
exactly.
the genocide first.
And you and me, the UN, would be like, show us the photos of the splattered brains again. It's like, we know what happened. Yeah, but show us again, and then whoop out some popcorn. And be like, yeah. Shit.
Well, we are the representatives in the UN of Kyrgyzstan.
What's Kyrgyzstan?
It's what people on 4chan refer to themselves as, the nation of Kyrgyzstan.
And we want to see splattered brains.
But the thing is, I mean, obviously it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's
but
horrible.
The footage of it was
horrible
because it was in the 90s, right?
Oh, really?
You know what always freaks me out?
Was it in the 90s?
94.
Dude.
Did it start in 93 or it started in 94?
Well,
same year as the OJ case. Two travesties around the world. That's Rwanda and OJ. I mean, both as bad as each other, really. God, horrible to say that. That's crazy.
Yeah, on one hand, we have a million people, but on one hand, we have a suburban white mum. Like, come on.
It's so gross, isn't it? That's the problems of... the third world, this like really quick, really efficient genocide, and then on the other side of the world, they're just like, but did you get a blowjob outside of marriage? Did this happen? This is really the fabric of society falling at the seams. Getting your dick sucked.
It really like puts everything in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that's
because
that
I
was
can't
a
even
massive
quantify
reason.
That many people.
Honestly,
I
don't think it was the Monica Lewinsky scandal, but the thing was it was Somalia. Mm. The reason why Bill Clinton didn't intervene.
Yeah.
There was a few of them. And then what was the name of the UN representative? Madam what's her name?
Madam, are you talking about Secretary
Albright?
Of State?
Was that her name? Madam Albright?
That was Secretary of State for the
that
US.
That was Secretary of State. She is an evil, scary-looking woman.
Really?
She looks
she
like...
She was one of the most powerful... She was like America's version of Margaret Thatcher.
And she also looks like the scary puppet witch in House the Movie from the 80s. She looks exactly the same.
Jesus.
I'll just give you like a quick diagram of it, Miss Love.
Yeah. But I want to see this. I just don't want to ever not look at this guy's face, though. It's so nice.
It does kill... It definitely
looks like,
fills you with...
he looks like Obama's jealous brother.
Yeah, he is. He is the black version of Al Gore, that guy.
Reasonable planning, sensible tomorrow.
No, I don't... I think he's headed...
Whoa.
He's got a time bomb on his hand.
Wait, so what's this chick still?
This is Madam Albright. And
yeah.
a lot of things were happening in the early 90s. It's actually a really interesting period for international politics because the Soviet Union just collapsed.
Yeah, it was everything was in transition.
Yeah, that's the Eastern Europe was like reconfiguring itself.
It was becoming Western. Oh, well, not Western.
Yeah,
It was becoming this. Yeah, becoming this. So
it was
it's obviously gone
the
too
US
far.
Taking over.
Yeah, this is what happens when the US comes to Croatia.
Yeah, and I'm glad they did.
I don't know. I think the Eastern Bloc should have stood strong, to be honest.
Well, they're going back to it.
And so anyway, a massive reason why I didn't intervene is because in Somalia, They shot down a helicopter because it was a lawless war zone, basically.
Yeah.
And in the US, they were like, you're putting American troops at risk. And then George Bush comes out later and she goes, we need to invade Iraq. And everyone goes, yeah, well, you know, you're going to lose some. If you're going to make an omelet, you've got to break some eggs when people die there, right? But in there, they were just going like, why are we there?
Oh, wow.
Three soldiers were killed. Well,
there's a bit of context to the UN in action, too. So they were pursuing for a peace treaty between the Hutus and the Tutsis. So what the UN was trying to get at was like, because they couldn't have predicted this genocide, right? So they were trying to get at like a peace deal. And they said that there was a truce between the two. And initially the truce was agreed upon until it was sabotaged by the right wing after the plane was shot down. So the UN was still in its hangover. They were telling their people not to attack anyone because they were hoping for the peace treaty to actually keep going on. In hindsight, it was they were on the wrong side of history because like so many people got killed.
Yeah, but I remember listening to I think it was some French dude who was the head of the Red Cross there, and he was going, the genocide in Rwanda was so bad. We set the Red Cross during the Nazis in Germany, sending Jews to the camps, and we still treated both sides. But this side, I say no. We take a stand. 140 years, we never take stand. We never take stand since.
Wow.
Because, dude, most it was of
just,
it was...
Because the UN just pissed off. As soon as hell started breaking out, they just left. They just aborted every US citizen. And just left people in football fields and stuff where the UN were guarding huge hordes of people against machetes. And then just left.
Shit.
Belgians were forced out by the Hutus. And the Belgians had the biggest UN program.
Not really. They killed 10 guys, and then Belgium, again, was just going, we're losing too many, 10 people out of a country of millions.
Yeah, right.
Rwanda lost a million. It was, dude, honestly, if I was Bob Hawke if I was Paul Keating, I would have sent soldiers over.
Really?
Because everyone knew what was happening. That's what that French guy was saying. He was going, they cannot say afterwards that they didn't know the extremity of this. But we were telling them every day. We were sending them photos. They knew. To say you don't know. No, they know this.
But someone that was... Wait, did you say Paul Keating? Yeah, Paul Keating. If it was more of a national sort of, you know... What's the words? Isolationist or whatever party, they'd be like, it's their own problem, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, that's the whole world stance. And that's what the UN... That's what I learned from this, actually. The UN's primary function. It's kind of like that old saying of possession is 9/10 of the law. Is that true, by the way, Ali? You kind of have done a law degree a bit.
Yeah. What do you mean possession?
But it's the same thing. The UN is basically designed to protect sovereignty of borders. So if you're doing shit within your own borders, they don't care. It's only when the conflict spills out onto other borders
that
they just
care. The
UN does
that. Oh.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Trump love them then?
They should. Well,
such
the UN
a good
does.
Point.
Man, that's a loaded question.
That's another segment.
We can have like an hour long debate about
that.
Yeah,
that's another question.
But anyway, so the thing is that they all evacuated all of their citizens at the first strife of it. They were saying that during the first night when it all broke out, and they were having all these organizations, the Hutu were having all of these meetings in schools, that as soon as the word was out on Hutu Power FM, they would put up all these road blockades across the city so that any Hutu that were trying to escape, it was just easy to cut them down. Right. So they were just trapped.
Like the roaches they were.
Oh, man.
And I don't know why.
Horrible.
This footage scares me so much. There's just this dude dressed in Nike, like, running wear. And it's they always show it of this UN tank driving past a really crap roadblock that they put up of just some locks or whatever.
Mm.
And he just somersaults on the ground. He's so excited about killing.
Oh,
and then you ask,
God.
Yeah, because they were saying that afterwards, there's all of these camps that are set up throughout Rwanda now that if you killed people and it's too much of a guilty thing on your conscience, you voluntarily put yourself in jail. And there's no guards there. There's just thousands of Hutu that sit there plowing the fields.
Because it was literally your neighbor with a machete killing you. Isn't it
horrible how often that's happened in history? Like every war atrocity, war crime, even in Croatia. Croatia was the same. Always started with, your neighbor was trying to kill you. Can I just give you a really quick story just as a side note? Really quick. My mum or dad were telling me a story. There was these, her neighbor, there was their street. And it was like two of the neighbors in Croatia, because Serbs and Croats, you know, lived in lots of Croats and Serbs, lots of Serbs in Croatia, lots of different generations mingled, blah, blah, blah. And there was two kids that had grown up together, and they were like best mates. One was Serbian, but moved to Croatia when he was young, and one was Croatian-born and bred, and they were like best mates. And I can't remember the exact scenario, but basically the war had broken out and everyone was like, oh, am I going to be nationalistic? Am I going to, who do you stand with? And I think one of them had gone to fight for the Croatian army. And then I just was told this image that like the neighbor saw the Serbian guy just leaving his house with like a fucking rifle. And someone was like, where are you going? And it was just like, to do my people's work, and just ran off into the, like, to kill his best friend.
He killed his best friend?
No, to kill his best friend.
But the guy pissed off.
The guy was, no, he didn't piss off. He was just fighting in the army. So he was kind of like, it was kind of like the hunter and the best friends for life. War broke out. We're going to kill each other.
Yeah, that's what they're saying is that...
Unfortunately, that's a very common thing.
I know.
This is what they're saying is the psychology of a genocide.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to this expert on it that was talking about genocides throughout history.
Right.
And he was saying it's the same thing every time.
Mm.
It's always a political game. It's always just like some leader sitting behind a board just going, okay, we can rile them up and then I'll be able to stay in power longer.
And race and religion.
That's what Slobodan was doing.
Yeah, and race and religion are just easy ways to rile people up.
But that's why it's fucking dangerous to go for these nationalist guys. I'm not trying to compare Rwanda with like, you know, modern day Western world that you live in.
Yes, please don't.
But that's the fucking point that everyone tries to... Like, I'm not trying to say that Trump's going to go out and kill people, but what I'm saying is like, he's using the same formula.
He's pulling the same
levers. It's the same shit if you think about it.
That's a fucking stretch, man. Like, it's
not
really.
No, I don't think so. Okay, try to explain to me why that's not a stretch.
Going white power. That's why. If he was saying white power,
no, dude. None of these guys started off with saying Hutu power. All of them go through the same phenomenon. Like the thing is, the U.S. is a highly developed society, and there's a lot of mechanisms might not happen. I'm saying, but the playbook's the same. And
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, sure. But I mean, like, I wouldn't say that. I don't think Trump has that same motivation for that desperation for power that he will incite like a race war. There's always fringe
man,
people.
It's just a different environment.
I know it's
if Trump was in Rwanda in 93,
he'd be doing
he'd
the
definitely
same
be doing that.
Well, yeah, maybe
it's the context.
Because it's
that
just because there was an army on the border,
but that's
right?
A huge difference. Like that power, like that's a huge difference. I mean, like if someone is desperate in a country with minimal resources, dense population, fucking power hungry, Kevin Rudd would probably do it. It's irrelevant. You know?
No, not everyone does it. Kevin Rudd.
But
okay, Kevin Rudd wouldn't because
it's a playbook. Certain politicians go with this game. Certain politicians don't.
No, I get Kevin, that. Even it's like, a broad. As it's much a broad. Of a, it's a broad political.
Dude, I have no love lost for Malcolm Turnbull, for instance. Right.
Yeah.
Even Tony Abbott, for that matter. I can tell you, these guys won't do it.
Right.
These guys are playing by a different playbook. Yeah. These aren't those crazy.
You might be right. There are definitely Trump would definitely have. He loves that sort of like power
the
play.
The only advantage with Trump is he kind of doesn't believe in what he's saying, which is a benefit. If you believe in what you're saying, dude,
but you're not talking about is what particularly do you think
I'm
would incite
about,
something like just the rhetoric
I'm,
or
no,
like
no, no,
policy?
I'm talking
or?
About
like,
the tools that he uses
like what,
to maintain power.
Well, like saying like I'm not going to say anchor baby.
No, which is in the sense marginalizing communities in order to solidify his strong base.
As Q&A always says, and we all know that Q&A is the best show to have ever existed, but that the politics of fear.
Yeah,
if you're running
the
by that playbook,
the
politics of fear.
But as an example, let's say there's like, let's say something like Mexican crime rates and the crime rates of illegal aliens, which are very high and very damning. If that's a fact and you want to change that, are you saying that...
No, but that's the thing, man.
I'm just asking if him addressing that the way he's like, they're rapists, they're murderers, him addressing it that way, are you saying... Like, I guess what I'm saying is if him and Obama had the same policy...
Which they basically do.
But
it's the rhetoric.
Also, bringing that to... maybe he's too aggressive with that rhetoric, but... I think bringing those ideas to the forefront of the majority of the populace's mind, even if he overdoes it, can't isn't just a destructive thing.
Maybe
right?
now, Miss Love, but imagine 30, 40 years from now, right?
Yeah.
America's population is going to change dramatically. The immigrants are going to be a majority, right? Which it kind of already is in a way, as in like the total number of immigrants, not like a particular community, right? Once that they become into a majority, a rivaling China.
I would imagine that that's, you think America's, how far in the future are we talking?
Talking about like literally 20 years.
20 years, America's 20, not going to have a majority immigrant.
Dude, have you looked at American demographics?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
No, very quickly, there's going to be more Mexicans than white people.
Really?
Definitely.
No, maybe not Mexicans, but collectively, minorities might be bigger.
Right.
But the thing is, man, okay, what I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to paint a scenario here.
Yeah.
A rival China, America losing its power in a trying to regain this lost glory.
Yeah.
I can kind of imagine a scenario where that shit could even be possible. It just depends on what the situation is at the point.
But like... But all I'm really hearing is for that, it's like, here's these inevitabilities, the economy, let's say economic inevitabilities and stuff like that. I mean, if the alternatives are it crashing and burning because of Trump, and it crashing and burning just a little bit slower because of someone else, then it's kind of irrelevant. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, the Rwandan genocide didn't have to happen. Yeah. Leaders are shaped by the environment, is what you were saying. That a lot of what they take credit for is actually just the national mood at the time, global forces. A lot of that, as you pointed out to me off air, which is kind of annoying because I can't prove it. But you say that.
I don't remember.
But you were saying that I'm coming to the point where I don't give politicians any credit. And then I was going, that's not fair.
Right.
But the thing is that they are the guy that is steering the ship. They are the captain, right?
Yeah, of course,
And so... For instance, the Rwandan genocide, if there was a moderate in power,
it would not wouldn't have happened. These are decisions, Miss Love. These sometimes boil down to a tight-knit group.
Wait a second, is it
that
attitude?
Make a decision at the time.
Is it attitude or is it
it's the
policy?
Way,
it's
not even the policy. It's
just
literally
attitude. It's just it's
the
just
way
like how
you
it's
do it.
Up.
It's the playbook that you use.
It is kind of policy. I mean, that's the thing. Genocides are always planned. We have the documents of Slobodan Milosevic planning this.
Yeah.
We have the ones of Hitler planning this. We have the ones of the Hutu extremists planning.
And it's usually quite an elaborate strategy. The strategy in this case, in Rwanda's case, the strategy was that, okay, so there's an extremely powerful Tutsi army on our border.
Mm.
We've got a bunch of Tutsis here that are living here. We've got two options. Either we wait for the inevitable or we kind of act like a dick. I know the rest of the world is going to hate us, but for our own survival, let's kill every motherfucking one.
Jesus.
That was a strategy that they decided to use, Miss Love. Some people in high-ranking positions at the time
decided
that we're going to go for this. It could have easily been someone like, no, dude, we can't do it. We're going to find a different way to do it.
Yeah, true.
It's like, you know, it was literally either you kill me or I kill you situation.
Yeah,
right?
I can see what you're saying, though. Like, Trump in that scenario might have done it, but I feel like it's like... Still a fucking bit of a stretch to equate it to something now.
We're not equating it to it, we're just
saying that it's the same kind
that
of strategy. It's just a less extreme version of that.
But there is logic behind this kind of rabble-rousing mentality.
Think,
but don't you think when Trump was just like saying the Mexican thing, it wasn't him being like, this will get me power. It was like exactly what a tradie who lives in Brooklyn would say.
I don't think so, because he is not a tradie from Brooklyn, too.
I know, but you can be a fucking millionaire
he
and
was
have
told
a dumb working
exactly,
class. Not dumb, but like a working class
Miss
mentality.
Love, I am this guy was told exactly what would work. You know, like, okay, Jordan, come on. You were telling me about like one of the strategies. It's a fucking great strategy.
Yeah, that he would watch
which was
Fox
like,
and stuff.
No, yeah, he would watch Talkback Radio.
I don't buy that. Though. Is that
or
true?
Like people,
like, I don't know about
he was
that.
Basically listening to Hutu Power FM in America, which is Rush Limbaugh.
Who's that?
A guy with seven chins talking about how shit Democrats are 3 hours a day.
Oh, yeah, that guy. These frat cats.
Think about how extreme this guy is, right?
I know.
You know how on ours, between songs, it just goes, move, and that's it.
Yeah.
Every one of his is always like, Rush Limbaugh's on the air. The liberals are on the run. Rush Limbaugh
that's
live.
Mad.
And so he would be briefed. Trump would be briefed on positions that will help him for a certain demographic.
Yeah, I mean, all
the forgotten demographic.
That. Everybody has
no,
that, everybody
every
has.
Politician gets those briefings. Certain politicians choose to take up on this. There are a lot of things, Miss Love. If you were a politician, people might come up to you and be like, you know what? A lot of people are hating on Lebanese people right now. If you say shit about Lebanese people, you're probably going to get a few votes.
Yeah.
There's one guy that says, "All right, that sounds mad. I'm going to do it." There's one guy that says, "Dude, I not that."
Right. Well, I mean,
I'm a politician to actually work. Like, I don't want to fucking demonize people. It's, you know, it's, it's a dirty playbook, right? You can choose to
do it. Yeah, that is true. That is true. I mean, yeah, that is true. But I feel like, you know, it's all, again, it's all about the policy. Like, it's like, depending on what, it's like, you know, the facts, you know, basically if Trump said all that shit about Mexicans, it's, let's say, I mean, a lot of the statistics are like extremely damning, extremely shocking.
But what we're saying
is the way he said it. It's the way he riles people up about it, right?
Which is true because, okay, Obama has the same statistics.
Tutsis were about to kill them.
I get you, I get you.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All Europeans know the damning statistics on immigration into Europe.
Yeah.
But they choose to say, you know, like, we're all one people and stuff like that and try and deal with it behind the scenes. They don't try and rouse the public into aggression.
There's just, I completely understand that. There's just a part of me that really likes pizza and just wants to go, fuck yeah!
No, dude, look, the societal...
What?
As if that's not your whole soul.
It's not my whole soul.
Domino's. Anyone that likes pizza. They're the Tootsie.
I'm not an idiot. Like, I understand rhetoric is stupider than fucking policy and behind and you know, all the stats about Obama having like the highest number of immigrants, illegals kicked out of America. I mean, that speaks volumes. Way more than someone that was conservative
Miss
like
Love,
Bush.
Why do you think Obama, being that president that kicked out most immigrants, never actually shat on Mexicans in public life? What do you think was the reasoning behind that?
Well, either he's the less passionate in public or...
Or he realizes because
he's a tactful, intelligent guy that understands that there's gray areas.
He does not want to fucking
evoke the populace.
The political.
Because at the very least, there's something. You can agree that there's something enticing about the visceral, sort of uncandidness of someone like Trump. At least, I mean,
oh, it's so appealing,
but like, it's still appealing,
and that's why it works, right? Yeah, because it's something. Yeah. That's why everyone's always going, he's finally talking shit.
Yeah, but
because
I think Obama
is putting it in black and white issues, and most people just think of politics in black and white.
But dude, the world isn't black and white. That's exactly. True. It's a very complicated world out there.
Things as like good and evil,
people start going,
he's talking shit.
I know that, but I think you oversimplifying that some things are oversimplifying is bullshit. Dude, immigration, it's pretty black and white. Obama could have done with a dose of that.
You know what's fucking...
The presentation of it is what's not black and white. The facts are black and white, but you have to deliver it to the public in a manner that is going to create social cohesion and order.
Yeah,
you don't
want to
tear down your own society in the process.
That's true. It's just, I think, put it this way, if Obama was somewhat, had a few more moments like that, then I think that Trump wouldn't have had the rise because people would have been like, he's like, hey, look what he's saying. People would have just gone, yeah, Obama said pretty much the same thing. Remember that one time do you know what I mean? If he had sort of, I think that, because there's such a polarizing, personalities, people are like, yeah, fucking Trump's mad because no one's doing this, which is true. It's not the way he presents himself. There was a little fucking flicker of that.
Well, if you look at polls, it's pretty much 30 to 35% of the public that agrees with him, which is usually what these extremist parties have. It's the same in Australia with Pauline Hanson. She's got about 30% of the population that agrees with
her. Yeah, but that's not just rhetoric, right? There's also people that obviously look into his fucking policy and are like, all right.
Okay, Ms. Love, explain to me.
Not many.
No, but like, okay, so if you look at Europe, you're reading that book on Europe's immigration, right?
Yeah.
So an economic need...
An unbiased
An
book.
Economic no, need for a population
yes,
that has
it is,
a negative
it is
birth
a
rate.
It's a
no, but like, no,
it's
okay, listen to this, listen to this.
No, no, I know.
An economic need for a negative birth rate coupled with the social apprehension of immigrants is a toxic cocktail which is going to explode. Because what's going to happen is the more people you keep out, the worse you're going to do economically.
It's true.
The more it will reinforce your previous biases.
Yeah, it's true.
And
it's
it's a net loss. You're headed for like a disaster. Bringing us back to Rwanda, we got distracted.
Actually, part two of this podcast. We'll come back next week. Ooh, what a teaser.
Ooh.
And we'll discuss it then. See you next week.
Yeah.
Sorry to waste your time basically talking about Trump and how good or bad he is yet again.
Again!
Next week.
We are fucking BuzzFeed. See ya.